Ron Esposito is a very talented and creative musician who's been producing albums of a soothing nature the past few years. His latest effort is entitled Soul Burst, which is a title evoking spiritual overtones. Ron, thanks for coming in and sharing your work.
Hey, Lee, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Although this work is indeed a labor of love.
Aren't they all?
Tell us about the title of your new CD and its concept.
Yeah, Soul Burst. Well, I was starting to think about, you know, a title. And, you know, I went through a few in my mind. And then I looked across the wall in my living room to a work of art that a deceased friend of mine, artist Michael Straw, did a number of years ago. And I just kept looking at it. And it kind of reminds me of kind of almost like the Big Bang. You know, it starts off real small in the middle and just keeps on expanding out. And I looked at it and I went, Soul Burst. So there it was. And the original artwork is called Earth Shroom Sphere by Michael Straw.
So you wrote all the songs on this CD. When did you start the process?
Well, you know, I start conceptualizing, stuff that I want to record, you know, a few months before the actual session, okay? And actually, you know, the kernels of compositions are there when I get to the studio, and I talk with the various musicians that I'm using on the session, and we get a conceptual roadmap together, and then we do a number of takes. To be truthful, you know, the final form is made in the editing process, just like you make a movie. And over the past number of years, I've been highly influenced by late 60s, early 70s Miles Davis in the way that Miles made his records. And it was basically, let's go in the studio, let's cut a bunch of stuff, and let's give the tapes to T.O. Macero and T.O., make us a record. And so I work with the engineer, Bill Gwynn, who I've been making records with for over 20 years. And between the two of us, you know, we slice and dice, edit, move stuff around, put stuff together. The beauty of digital recording is that it's a lot easier now to move stuff around, the slice and dice. It's not like the old days where you're rocking the reels with a razor blade.
So I'm thinking that selecting the musicians is ultimately very important, and you've got to have some kind of a spiritual connection with these people.
Well, you're right, Lee. Selection of musicians is very important. And, you know, if you've looked over my past catalog, there's a few musicians who keep popping up, one of which is the tabla player Jim Feist. He's been on every one of my records, and aside from being a wonderful tabla player, Jim is a fearless player, improvisational skills, and with an attitude of, okay, let's go for it. And those are the kind of players I like. So Jim Feist is a constant, and of course he's steeped in the Indian music tradition, which is very near and dear to my heart. And I love how tabla presents a rhythmic flow as opposed to maybe just the strict timekeeping that sometimes a regular trap drummer would do, okay? So I like that rhythmic flow concept because it just kind of opens things up. And another player that's, been on my past two CDs, you know, Soul Burst and We Are One, is the Indian Bansuri flute player, Johnny Ruja. And Johnny and Jim have played together for years. So they've got a definite vibration and hookup. And one of the other things that I enjoy about Johnny is, you know, he gets the idea that the kind of music we do is about tone production. You know, we're not looking for a million notes an hour, but we're really looking for a quality of tone and a centered presence in the playing. And again, Johnny is steeped in the Indian raga tradition, so he knows it's about the breath, it's about being centered, and it's about tone production. Just wonderful. I love his playing. You know, so in addition to Jim and Johnny, I wanted to bring a different element this time, and the selection of Mark Wolfley on percussion and Steve Flora on acoustic bass. You know, initially I thought about doing some string quartet stuff, believe it or not, which still is in the back of my mind, but, you know, we'll see how that plays. Anyway, the long and the short of it is I thought, well, you know, I could use bowed bass to have this vocal quality, but also just this beautiful singing, yearning type tonality. And Steve Flora was the first guy that came to my mind. I studied with Steve for a while, so I know his capabilities, and he's a master musician. And Mark Wolfley has been a friend of mine going back to the Akimi days when that group was popular here in Cincinnati. And when I thought of Mark, I thought of the sound of ECM records, particularly, you know, the way that they use the drums on ECM. A lot of, like, cymbals, an airy quality, and some tom-toms with a few gongs, you know, just to do implied rhythm. And, you know, of course, Mark got that right off the bat. So the sessions with Mark Wolfley and Steve Flora were pretty effortless. And one of the beautiful things is when you record with guys like Jim Feist and Johnny Ruja and Mark Wolfley and Steve Flora, you're not running back and forth between the studio and the booth after every take to hear what you did. You maybe go in once or twice just to get a feel for what things are like, but most of the time, you're just cutting, you know, take after take, and you're amassing an amount of material that you can use, you know, move it around, do this and do that with it. And, you know, the quality of playing is very consistent. Just lovely. I mean, just lovely. And to add a bit more atmosphere, I used Dave Schneider playing sitar on a few tracks. And, you know, who's not madly in love with the sitar? Come on. As soon as you hear that instrument, particularly the drone-like quality that it has, it just centers you up. I mean, it just puts you right here, right now, in the present moment, with the breath. And it's like, ah. So, you know, Dave has an appreciation for, you know, Indian music as well, obviously playing the sitar. And he added a great atmosphere, which I'm a big fan of atmosphere these days, you know. And then used the vocalist and harmonium player, Audrey Casilla. And Audrey is a trained classical pianist, and she's also a very fine kirtan singer here in Cincinnati, and brings a nice touch to the harmonium. And the session I did with her, you know, we cut a bunch of stuff, you know, with the harmonium and the bowls. And then towards the end of the session, I said, hey, you know, why don't you just do some vocal stuff? Find a tone center and just do some vocal stuff. And she goes, well, you know, I'm getting kind of tired. And I said, yeah, that's good. That's all your defenses will be down. And you'll just kind of go for it. Well, okay. And I tell you what, oh, God, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up by the time, you know, she got done doing, you know, her vocal takes. And then Bill, the engineer, and I found passages that worked great. And I loved Audrey's vocal and playing. And she's somebody that I'm probably looking forward to using again.
And she's on the song Breathe.
Yes, she is.
And that was my favorite from the whole album.
I tell you what, it's one of my favorites as well. I just sink right into that composition.
It reminded me of Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, really?
And some of the music from some of their productions.
Oh, okay.
Very ethereal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, Cirque du Soleil, big time operation, great production, top shelf, everything. I did see them once at the Bank of Kentucky Arena. And, you know, hey, what's not to like about Cirque du Soleil,
yeah,
huh?
Great. So improvisation was a very important key of the structure of what you did with these musicians.
Absolutely, Lee. I spent many years in the jazz world. And for me, improvisation is at the heart of it all. And when you are able to record with the caliber of musicians that I just talked about, well, this is the place that they live as well. Everybody knows how to play their instrument. Everybody knows how to show up fully in the moment musically and go. And there it is.
So freedom, a lot of freedom.
A lot of freedom, right.
Then you give it all to someone to edit and away you go.
Well, yeah, Bill the engineer and I, and Bill has been co-producing with me my past two recordings. Yeah, and there you go. Right, right. You know, we start making the record in the editing booth.
Well, let's talk about some of the songs.
Yeah, sure.
Let's start off with number one, which was Desert Journey, and that featured the flute and some interesting vocals. Who are the musicians on this one?
Sure. On Desert Journey, it features Jim Feist on tabla and the vocalization, as well as, of course, me on the singing bowls and Johnny Ruja on the alto flute and Indian bansuri flute. So we're getting ready to, you know, cut this track, and we're talking about various concepts. I think I remember saying to Jim, you know, in Indian music, tabla players are able to vocalize the parts that they play rhythmically with their voice. I said, hey, man, why don't you kind of do a vocal setup and then, you know, we'll come in. And he did. And then when Bill heard the vocalization, he goes, hey, Jim, would you mind if we kind of played around with this, you know, from a production point of view? And Jim said, hey, you know, knock yourself out. So that we did. And this is probably one of the more highly produced tracks on Soul Burst, Desert Journey. We use, aside from the tabla, the bowls, and the flutes, We used a variety of extra musical production elements like sonic pads, atmospheric, backdrops. And, we really kind of put the tune into sections, so to speak, united by the vocal breaks. Definitely one of my favorite tracks, particularly from a production point of view. Listening, a lot over the years, to John DiLiberto and Echoes on NPR. And I'm really glad that WVXU carries that program. Thank you. And, you listen to how a lot of the newer music is produced and the production elements. And on this record, I wanted to use a lot more production. So the mixes are deeper. And there's more stuff going on inside the mixes. Very beautifully recorded. Sweet.
And then the second song, In the Flow, that's a slightly slower cadence than Desert Journey.
Yeah. In the Flow is an example of what I would call a mashup. Because, Bill and I started thinking of listening to the tune. And then, these light bulbs went off. Well, what happens if we take, the acoustic bass and the percussion and put it on the front end with the sitar before the piece kind of gets into its, statement and going? And it was like, oh, yeah. And then, we moved the parts around a bit, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is slamming. So In the Flow is really a great example of a mashup, taking elements from different takes and editing them together. And so it's got everybody on it. Jim Feist on tabla, Johnny on the flutes, Mark Wolfley, Steve Flora, and myself. We used everybody, as well as Dave Schneider. We used everybody on that track, except for vocals,
The next one, Elementals. Mm-hmm. I got goosebumps on this one with that throat singing.
Yeah, you know what? That is a common response. People said they got goosebumps listening to that. You know, it's me on the bowls and the deep throat singing, along with Mark Wolfley percussion and Steve Flora on the acoustic bass. And, you know, there were two things we wanted to do with this. We wanted to create this sonic environment that kind of had a little darker quality to it, coloristically speaking, that would kind of connote this deep, loamy type of ground, you know, that if you go into the woods, you know, and you dig under a pine tree, you know, the soil, and I kind of thought of like the title, Elementals, kind of refers to spirits, quote-unquote, or different types of consciousness that exist like in the woods or the mountains or the open plains. And elementals means they're of a basic type of consciousness, okay, or spirit. And then, of course, when you put the deep throat singing on there, it's like, woo! Get ready, boy. You're going to get goosebumps. And, you know, it's obviously somewhat influenced by, you know, Tibetan Buddhist ritual as well.
What about Bali?
Yeah, now Bali. So this is an example of, you know, Jim Feist tabla, Johnny Ruja, Bansuri flute, and me just playing the Tibetan brass bowls. The composition is out of A major because the five brass bowls that I use are out of that key, okay? And we started playing it, and I started thinking of Indonesian gamelan music. You know, if you hear any of that stuff, they use these almost bell-like sounding I forget what shape they are, but it's an instrument that's metal, kind of has a bell-like sound, and, you know, there'll be two or three parts to go on with it. And it kind of reminded me of that kind of sound. And, of course, Johnny's playing is real breathy, kind of short phrases, and Jim has this rhythm pattern that, you know, locks up with the bowls. And then when Bill and I were doing the editing and mixing, we put backwards reverb on the brass bowls that give it kind of this kind of quality if you listen closely. I'm a big fan of backwards reverb.
Well, it worked.
Oh, yeah. You're telling me it worked. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Talk about the instrumentation on Unfolding. It's got that Indian flavor.
Yeah, sure. Unfolding features Dave Schneider on sitar, as well as me and Jim Feist and Johnny Ruja. And I love the sitar again on this piece because it just has this centered, meditative quality. It's not going anywhere real fast because there's nowhere to get to. And it just, hooks up very nicely with the long tones of the singing bowls. And then, when the tabla comes in, and then just how the flute and the sitar interact with the texture and atmosphere that the bowls set up. Yeah, it ended up being a nice piece, I thought. Let's talk about Miles for a moment here, because it might help listeners understand the approach to the music. Basically, we're playing what's called modal music. We're not so much playing off of a set of chord changes anymore. Just like Miles's late 60s recordings, particularly starting with Kind of Blue, is where he really starts using modes as opposed to set chord changes. So with modes, it's modal music. It's kind of a scalar approach. And Indian music is like that. Indian music is kind of all melody that implies harmony with rhythm. And that's the approach that we take. So, when we say we play modally, it's like, okay, we're going to work off an A minor scale. And then doing that, the whole thing just opens up. Just really opens up more. Yeah, you can still form chords within an A minor scale, which I do playing the bowls. But, it's not set. And so playing in a modal fashion enables one to improvise in a very different way than, say, playing over Charlie Parker-like bebop chord changes, where the chord changes are coming every other bar, and you're finding lines that go through, a million chord changes. Now, it's like it's the lines that count. I love playing that way.
Well, it works.
It does work.
And this is a wonderful album. You've done a great job with it.
Yeah, I feel this is a real culmination of up to this point. I knew I had to do something different, quote unquote, on this record, Soul Burst, because I could continue making the same record if you don't really try to put yourself in another place creatively. Okay. And, that's why I used the particularly Steve Flora and Mark Wolfley in the addition of the female vocals with Audrey Casilla. And also to introduce, the throat singing a little more front and center.
So do you think this album is going to be featured on TV shows coming up?
Well, actually, my licensing agent in Los Angeles, a native Cincinnatian, Tanvi Patel, has already licensed Karuna off of this. And so it'll be used sooner or later And actually, I've been quite lucky. I've had about a half a dozen tracks licensed for use on TV, network as well as cable. I just got a piece licensed for the new Showtime series called Ray Donovan. And, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You found your niche here.
Yeah. And I'm grateful. You know, Tonvi and I have known each other for years.
She used to work at VXU.
She used to work at WVXU in the 80s, no, the 90s. So anyway, yeah, long story short, she's my licensing agent in Los Angeles.
Small world.
Small world, exactly.
Well, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Lee. Great to be here.
And the album is Soul Burst, Ron Esposito. You can find that all over the place in town, can't you?
At Shake It Records and Everybody's Records, and visit my website.
And I heard it's on Amazon, too.
Yeah, we're on Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes.
You're out there.
Yeah, we're all hooked up.
All righty. Thanks again.
Thank you, Lee.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.